All right, good morning, church. Welcome again to HMCC. I'm so glad to be able to spend this day together with you, and I pray that the Lord will meet you and bless you here as we gather this morning. Some of you might be surprised to see me because I just shared last week that we were going to have Pastor Ben Kim from HMCC of Austin coming to preach for us, but I contacted Pastor Ben during the week this past week and said, hey, you sure you're okay with preaching for us with all the winter storm and losing power for a long time and losing water and all that kind of stuff? And he was like, yeah, it might help if we could reschedule. So I was like, okay, that's totally fine. We'll work it out. We'll figure something out. And so Pastor Ben, we're gonna reschedule him for another time. We still definitely want you to be able to hear from him. And hopefully he'll be able to update a bit then on everything that the church has been going through down in Austin. Thanks Dennis for lifting them up in prayer for us as well this morning. So Pastor Ben will be preaching for us another time. Also, it was his birthday yesterday. So happy birthday, Pastor Ben. I don't know if you're ever gonna watch this, but wish a happy birthday to Pastor Ben. Also, I don't even know if my dad is watching today, but today is my dad's 88th birthday, so I want to wish a happy birthday to my dad. We're going to be able to celebrate together later today, but that's a big deal. So thankful for him. And, you know, as we get into the rest of our celebration today, what we decided to do was, okay, we have another open Sunday. We've been focusing on freedom this whole month of February. We're just going to take the opportunity to extend our Set Free series one more Sunday. And I hope that's okay with you. It's been really good for me, and I think it's been good for our church. And so we're going to take one more Sunday just to be able to focus in on this theme of freedom. Next Sunday, just so you know, we're actually going to be starting a new sermon series called Pulse. And we're going to be talking about what wakes us up in the morning, what our heart beats for, these things that we value in life because of our faith in Jesus Christ. We're going to be talking about having a heart for the lost and a heart for the church, these things that really are the heart of Christ that we see in Scripture, that we want to talk about, like, what that looks like for us. And hopefully that'll be a good next step after this month focused on freedom, where we say, okay, we are set free to be able to live out these things, to be able to live out that heartbeat of Christ in everything that we do. And so if you look back on this past month so far, there's been kind of this common thread of freedom going through everything that we've talked about. We've talked about things like, we've talked about things like freedom from sin and freedom from slavery to sin, freedom from strongholds, all that kind of stuff. And today we're going to be just taking that one more step. And to start us off with that, I actually want to share with you about a man who I really admire named Frederick Douglass. And I've probably shared quotes from him a few times before. Frederick Douglass is, in my estimation, one of the greatest men in American history. Frederick Douglass, if you're not familiar with him, he lived from 1818 to 1895. There's a picture of him as a young man, and he was a former slave. He was born into slavery in Maryland. He was a preacher, an abolitionist, a woman suffragist, ultimately a diplomat, a statesman. He's someone who, I think in so many ways, in his life, I think embodies character, embodies freedom, embodies someone who chose in his freedom to fight for others who were enslaved. This is a man I deeply admire. By the way, I think one thing that's really interesting about him, this is like a side point, but you see this picture of him here, and he was actually the most photographed person of the 19th century. So throughout the 1800s, when photography was, you know, being invented and actually becoming more used, he was the most photographed person during that time, and that's because he understood the power of media. I think that has relevance today. And if you look at all the different pictures of him, you can find many of those online. You'll see that he never smiles in any of his pictures. And he chose never to smile because he didn't want to reinforce the image that was told across the country to reinforce slavery, this myth of the happy slave. And so he never smiled in any of his pictures to show a seriousness and a gravity about his person. I would actually recommend to you, as I'm sharing about him, partly because this is, you know, we're February 28th, last day of Black History Month, I would really recommend to you to read one of his books called The Narrative of the Life of Frederick Douglass, an American Slave. This is a book that had a deep impact on my life. I think every human being should read this book, and I would highly recommend that to you today to see some of his life experience and what slavery was like and what freedom was like for him, and all of that. And as we get started here today, there's a lot that could be said about Frederick Douglass, but I want to start by sharing this one quote from him. It reads this: "The thought of only being a creature of the present and past was troubling. I longed for a future too, with hope in it. The desire to be free awakened my determination to act, to think, and to speak." I might take a moment to kind of wrap your head around that quote, what it is that he's saying. But what I want to kind of lead into from that is this. Throughout this month, we've talked about slavery to sin, slavery to strongholds. We've talked about wounds. We've talked about the power of salvation. We've had a lot of different things going on. But what we need to realize is that we don't seek freedom for freedom's sake. We seek freedom because God has a purpose for our lives. And just like Frederick Douglass was saying, he didn't want to be just this creature of the past and the present. He wanted a future, something to hope for, something to live for, that when he tasted that freedom, that desire to be free, it gave him this determination to act, to think, to speak, to live the purpose and calling that God had for his life. And so as we think about that today, what I want us to realize, we're going to talk in this last part about being free from fear. And the most likely thing, I believe, to keep us from living out God's purpose for our lives is fear. Because oftentimes we experience fear, and then it keeps us from being able to do something that we then need to do. Very childish example that I'll share with you. When I was a very small child, I don't know how old I was, I had a special blanket. You know, a lot of kids have a special blanket, kind of that's a thing that they use for comfort and, you know, stay warm and whatever. And I had a special blanket. And I remember one day as a little kid, I climbed into bed and I pulled my blanket over me and I felt all nice and safe and cozy. And then a spider went right up here like this onto my ear, a big spider. Big fat one. And when that happened, I hit it and it flew across the room and I screamed. I think my mom probably came running and we couldn't find the spider. We found one of its legs that I'd broken off, I think. The big leg. And I remember I was terrified. My mom said, "Okay, you need to go back to bed now." I was like, no, I'm not going back to bed. And by the way, I think one of the U of M libraries just got closed, right? Because I was like, who's in the library right now? But one of the U of M libraries got closed because they found, I think, some brown recluse spiders in there. I don't know what kind of spider was on me, but since that time, I've been terrified of spiders. And sometimes if I'm like going into a place or something, I think a spider might be there. I have a real hard time doing that because that fear now lives in me, right? And for us who are followers of Jesus, I think we sometimes get fear into our lives. And it makes us hesitate and shrink back from the things God might have for us. And so today, one thing I want to share with you is that those enslaved by fear are restored by faith in Jesus. And I want to kind of lead us through that, actually through the story of a guy named Moses. And Moses, for those of you who are familiar with him in the book of Exodus, one of the great characters of Scripture, talked about, I mean, obviously throughout the Old Testament, New Testament as well, one of the great heroes of Scripture. And yet when we see the beginning of his life, we see him having to face some of the same things that we ourselves face today. Moses' background, if you're not familiar with him, is he was actually born into slavery in a time of infant genocide in the land of Egypt. The Hebrew people were enslaved, and they were becoming so numerous that the Egyptian rulers were worried they would take over the country, they would revolt. And so they started killing all of the Hebrew babies. And this was the time Moses was born into. He was put in a small little boat made of reeds by his mother and his sister and left there in the Nile hoping that something would happen to him. And he's actually rescued by Pharaoh's daughter, and he grows up in Pharaoh's household, and he grows up with in a position of wealth and education and all that kind of stuff. And that's where we pick up today's story. I'm going to read for us Exodus 2, verses 11 to 15. We'll get started there today. It says this: "One day when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and looked on their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. He looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. When he went out the next day, behold, two Hebrews were struggling together, and he said to the man in the wrong, 'Why do you strike your companion?' He answered, 'Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?' Then Moses was afraid and thought, surely the thing is known. When Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. We'll stop there. Let me pray for us one more time. God, we invite you to come and speak to us today. We're looking into your word, and we're looking to your word for guidance, Lord. We confess that for so many of us, God, we do struggle with fear. We are afflicted by fear. We are enslaved by fear. And God, as we face those things in our lives, we often can't find our own way out of it, our own ability to overcome that fear. And so, Lord, we pray that your word would give us guidance today, that you'd speak to us and give us wisdom, give us truth to believe in. And Spirit of God, we invite you to do your work in our hearts, to set us free from fear by placing our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and that, God, that you would give us the freedom to be able to walk into the things that you're calling us to do and to live for. We thank you, God. We pray for your blessing upon this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So as we start looking at this passage in Exodus chapter 2, first we need to look at Moses' failure and fear that develop in his story here. And just to recount a little bit of what we've just read happen, we see here that Moses witnessed injustice in the land he was growing up in. So he had had this very, very nice upbringing, right? He'd been living in Pharaoh's palace with Pharaoh's family, having plenty of food to eat, having a great education, having a lot of opportunity. He'd had a great life. But then he goes out into Egyptian society, and he sees some of his own people, and he's aware, somehow or another, he's aware that he's a Hebrew, and he's aware that his people are suffering. He's aware that they're being mistreated, that they are that they're being beaten, that they're suffering all of this injustice, and that brings up an anger in him. And out of that, we see that he took vengeance. He took vengeance against this Egyptian slave master. He kills him, somehow or another. It says he struck him down. And as that happens, then the story unfolds, and we see that he finds out that people realize what he's done. Before he took this man's life, he looked around, tried to make sure there weren't any witnesses. It turned out someone saw him, and it was known to people that he had done this act. And so then we see he fled in fear. He ran away from the land of Egypt that had been his home, that had been a place of safety and comfort and opportunity for him. He's now run away from these things. And so think about that. Moses grew up in this position of privilege, but then he realizes here that this problem of his own people's slavery is much too big for him to solve by himself. Him killing that one Egyptian slave master didn't do anything to change the plight of his people. They were no more free after he did that than before. The injustice remained. And he discovered as well that when he tried to make a difference in this situation, it actually turned him into an enemy of those in power, of Pharaoh, whose house he'd grown up in, of all the Egyptian rulers and all the slave masters. He became their enemy. And so now this situation became overwhelming and fearful for him. For the next 40 years then, that turns into Moses going out into the desert, living as a shepherd. He gets married in the meantime. And all throughout that, he has this fear of being found out. This fear that who he is and where he's come from and what he's done is going to be uncovered. And he probably is haunted by these memories of his kinsmen in slavery, and maybe even haunted by the memories of his own hands taking that Egyptian's life. Moses' future was haunted by the fears of his past. And when he thought about the future, there's no way that he could imagine recovering from what had happened. I think this situation, while for all of us here, this is probably a very different experience than any of us have ever gone through, still today we face our own fears, our own anxiety. And in fact, right now, I believe this is a very needed thing to be able to come to God with. Some of you might be aware that during the COVID-19 pandemic, rates of depression and anxiety have nearly quadrupled in this country. Here's a quick little bar graph there. You can see going from 11% in a quote-unquote normal year to 41% last month. So many of us are experiencing anxiety and depression. By the way, for young adults age 18 to 24, that figure is 56%. it's not hard to imagine that probably at least half of us gathered together here today are probably feeling that. Feeling that fear, feeling that anxiety, maybe going through depression as well, as anxiety and depression so often go together. We're anxious about things like our finances, like work, like our future, and the uncertainty of what the future holds. We're worried about our children. We're worried about sickness. We're worried about school. We're worried about all these things that are totally out of our control and that we are totally inadequate to actually make a large level change in. And I think that this is so profound because when I look at our church and when I talk to people in our church, I see a huge spiritual family that we have made up of people who want to make a difference in the world. We know there's something inside of us that, especially because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we want to make a difference. We want to be a source of positive change in the world. And yet when we look at the big problems of society, the big problems of inequality, of prejudice, of war, of famine around the world, of slavery that exists in the world today, of all kinds of things, we look at those things and they seem so overwhelming because sometimes we can't even get through our own days and our own problems. We wonder how we'll handle it when we get up the next morning. Many of us probably feel things like worry, fatigue, sleeplessness, loss of appetite, irritability, irrational fears, trouble concentrating, social anxiety. These are all things that my wife tells me are symptoms of anxiety. We probably feel that. And then we wonder, how am I supposed to live? How am I supposed to have a greater purpose in my life? How am I supposed to do anything but survive and just get through the next day and the next day and the next day? And we feel trapped by that. We feel overwhelmed, not sure how we're going to get out of this situation. Now, I want to mention a couple of things here that I think are very important. Sometimes things like fear, anxiety, depression, those things that I've just mentioned, sometimes those are things that people have a natural and physiological disposition for. And sometimes those issues of things like the chemistry of our brains or hormone imbalances, things like that, sometimes those have medical solutions that we need to talk to healthcare providers for, and I 100% encourage you to do that if these are things that you're going through. I 100% encourage seeking out medical care. And by the way, I've heard people say things, and this is, you know, I've heard people say things like, real Christians don't struggle with anxiety. I've heard people say stuff like that. Just so you know, that is a lie that's keeping you in slavery. That is not true. Everyone struggles with this stuff. The fact that we are Christians means that we have spiritual resources to deal with it, but it doesn't mean that we don't need to seek all different kinds of help as well. And so I would encourage you to seek medical care. I think sometimes the not wanting to seek medical care when we go through these things, sometimes that's more about pride and self-sufficiency or perhaps just shame than it is about any right thinking about it. So I would encourage that. But beyond just those physiological things, you know, we see an incredible uptick in the rates of anxiety in the modern world. And I don't think our physiology has changed all that much. I think there's other stuff going on too. Sometimes there are physical causes. I think there are also emotional and even spiritual causes that lead to all of this. Some of us have gone through truly traumatic experiences. Some of us have been through situations of abuse or loss or violence or betrayal or things like that that take root in our hearts. Maybe there's some connection here, I hope you'll see, to what we talked about with wounds last week. Some of us, maybe there are just things we've gone through relationally with other people that have just torn us apart emotionally. And for some of us, there are just real spiritual things going on. that as we even desire to live for great things, we desire to live for God's kingdom, we want to live to make Jesus known, we want to live to love God and love others, we want to live to make a difference in the world, and we desire to live for these things, and there's a spiritual opposition that we experience. Just honest confession, I've been feeling a lot of that recently. I've been feeling anxious. I've been feeling afraid. Over the past month especially, no coincidence. At the same time, we're trying to talk about freedom and the freedom that God gives us as a church. I've felt a lot of spiritual opposition in that time. Over the last couple days, I felt really anxious. I felt anxious preparing this sermon. I felt overwhelmed and inadequate, feeling like I didn't know what to say, I didn't know what to do, I didn't know how to best serve our church. I woke up during the night many times over the past couple of weeks, which is not normal for me. My wife will tell you I have the gift of sleep, but my gift has been taken away from me as I've been going through some of this stuff. I've been feeling fatigue. When I feel anxious and stressed, what I do is I need to sleep. And so like I'll just be in the middle of my workday, trying to work on things, trying to focus, trying to concentrate, and finding myself unable to do so. And I'll end up just laying down on the couch and falling asleep because I just can't get out of that anxiousness, that nervousness, that stress. And so I've been going through all this stuff. And as I go through it, God has brought me back again and again to realizing, number one, God wants me and wants us to live in freedom, but also reminding me that I think there are spiritual forces. Our enemy, Satan, the evil one, he uses fear to keep God's people from living for his purposes. That is consistent. I've seen it over and over again. And so as we think about that, we realize, okay, there might be physiological causes. There are probably emotional, experiential causes. There are probably spiritual causes to the fear, the anxiety, the things that we're going through. Let's follow Moses' story now. Let's talk about him encountering God here. Some of you probably are familiar with this story in Exodus chapter 3 of Moses encountering God in this burning bush. And here's an artist's rendition of that that you can see. This is kind of old school. Moses, he's out tending sheep in the desert, right? He's tending his father-in-law's sheep. He's working in the family business. He's out there and he sees this burning bush on top of a mountain. He says, okay, I'm gonna go see what this is. He comes near and the angel of the Lord speaks to him from this burning bush and says, you know, Moses, take your sandals off your feet. You're standing on holy ground. And God begins to speak to him. Let's see what happens in verses 7 and 8 and 10 here of chapter 3. Says, then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Wow. When you think about that, what God is talking to Moses about, you start to realize that sometimes God wants to send us exactly where our anxiety and fear tell us not to go. Isn't that a scary thing? Like, that's overwhelming to me. The very place that I don't want to go because I'm fearful and I'm anxious about it, that might be where God wants to send me and use me to do something. Like, look at Moses here. God wants to send Moses to the people he'd failed to save before and who he's run away from. God wants to send Moses to the courts of Pharaoh who wants him dead. God wants to send him back to that place in Egypt that represented loss and fear for him. That's where God wants to send him. And when you think about this, like, God, why didn't you choose like anyone else? God, why didn't you choose someone that didn't go through that, that didn't have those fears? God, you could have picked up some other Hebrew person who was there in slavery in Egypt, and you could have used them. Why come and pick Moses, the guy who is desperately afraid of going back to this place? And this, of course, is probably Moses' question as well, as you start to see how he responds to God. Look at how he responds here. A few things that I picked out in the next through the rest of this next couple of chapters. First, we see Moses respond with insecurity. He says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? He says, I'm not important enough. I'm not great enough. I'm not whatever. And, you know, Moses in this moment, he doesn't realize that he is actually exactly the right person. He knows Pharaoh personally. He knows the courts. He knows the Egyptian legal system. He knows how to function in that realm. He has relationships with people. He has experiences. He has education. He has all of that, right? But in that moment, he just says, "Who am I?" He doesn't realize that God in his sovereignty has actually been preparing him for this. And he's exactly the right person. But in this moment, he's insecure. Not only that, we see Moses' fear of rejection. He says, "They will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say the Lord did not appear to you." He says, "I'm afraid that my own people, if I go back and start talking to them about this, or if I go talk to Pharaoh about this, if I try to say that I met God in a burning bush, they're going to think that I'm crazy. They're going to think I'm making it up. They're going to think that I ate something I shouldn't have or smoked something I shouldn't have. They're going to think there's something wrong with me." He has this fear of rejection. And then we also see his sense of inadequacy. He says, "Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue." Then he says, "Oh my Lord, please send someone else." You see how inadequate he feels. He says, "I'm not a great public speaker. In spite of my education, I'm slow of speech, not a great orator. Like, God, I'm not the right person for this." And I want you to notice here, Moses had very real reasons to feel anxious and afraid in this situation. Very real. Like, he had very real reasons to say, "I don't want to go back there because Pharaoh might just tell the guards to strike me down as soon as he sees me, as soon as he finds out who I am. And I murdered someone back there, so I'm guilty in that land, and it might not be a good idea for me to go back. And hey, I've got a comfortable life here. I'm tending my father's sheep. I've got a family. I'm taking care of my family here. Why would I give that up to go to a place of such high risk?" Moses had very real reasons to feel anxious and afraid. What I want you to realize and reflect on a little bit here with me is that sometimes hearing God's calling on your life brings our fear and anxiety to the surface. And God wants to deal with that. Some of us might be feeling that right now. Maybe you're starting to reflect on, "Yeah, God, I don't want freedom for freedom's sake. I want freedom to be able to live for you. I want freedom to live for the things of your kingdom. I want freedom to bring glory to the name of Jesus. I want freedom to be able to love and serve others and make a difference in this world." And as you realize that, maybe you start to face some of those fears and anxieties. And you realize, "Wow, I am very inexperienced. Like, if I try to make a difference here, people might just laugh at me and shoot me down. If I tell people what I believe about Jesus, they might think I'm crazy. They might want nothing to do with me. If I go and try to do this, I'm so young, and the people who are in power in this area are so old, and like I'm not able to like bridge that gap. And the world is dangerous right now, and I'm scared of sickness, and I'm scared of failure, and I'm scared of my own poverty, and I'm scared of my own inadequacy. And these things might come up." And the fact that those anxieties and fears come up changes nothing about what God might want to do in your life. He might still be calling you into a place and for a purpose. It doesn't change just because you have that anxiety and fear. But in that, God might want to lead you out of that anxiety and fear. And so let me ask you this question. What have fear and anxiety been keeping you from? What have fear and anxiety been keeping you from? I mentioned before about my, you know, spider in the bed. I didn't want to go back to bed because I experienced something terrifying in that moment. What's the bed that you can't go back to? What's the place you're terrified of? What's the call of God on your life that you've been running away from? Has this fear been keeping you from things like working and studying as a worship to God? Instead, you've been working and studying just out of fear of failure. not wanting to be exposed for someone who has failed and fallen short? Has fear kept you from raising your kids as a steward of God's children? So you end up just raising them as slaves to others' expectations and your own idolatry of their future. Have you been unable to serve others with a Christ-like love and rather serving people out of fear of their disapproval, fear of their judgment of you? Have you been unable to take steps of faith to follow God's leading because you've been seeking control and security? Have you shrunk back from sharing about Jesus because you fear other people's reactions and rejection? Is there a need in the world that God has placed on your heart that you haven't taken action on because you feel so inadequate to be able to make a difference in that area of need? What has fear been keeping you from? What have those anxious thoughts been robbing from you? What is the purpose God has for you that you've been running from? Let's lastly talk here about freedom from fear. As we think about that. Freedom from fear, where do we find that? You know, as a little kid, I remember a lot of times being in somewhat fearful situations. Usually it's the first time you do something, right? The first time you jump off a diving board, the first time you ride a bike, the first time you go into a new place that's unfamiliar to you. You remember those experiences as a little kid? I remember those experiences when I wanted more than anything was I wanted to be able to be with my dad and hold his hand. Because to me, and I know not everyone has a relationship with their dad like this, but to me, my dad felt safe. My dad felt secure. I knew if I was with my dad that I was going to be okay. So I wanted to be with my dad in those scary situations. I wanted to hold his hand. Some of you may have experiences like that. I see that in my son today. Whenever there's a situation that seems a little bit out of control, that seems a little bit uncertain, a little bit unknown, my son wants to hold my hand, be at my side. This is actually a picture of what I think God wants for us and what God even shares with Moses. I'll take just a moment to say what God offers to Moses here specifically. God reassured Moses with a few things. He said, I'll be with you. He said, you'll do miraculous signs. And he said, your brother Aaron will speak for you. He said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be that father who is there at your side. I'm going to be with you, around you. You're not going to be alone. He said, I'm going to give you the ability to do these miraculous signs. You're going to be able to take your staff, throw it on the ground. It's going to turn into a snake. Pick it up. It's going to turn into a staff again. Put your hand inside your robe, and it's going to turn leprous. When you pull it out, put it back in. It's going to be clean. You're going to be able to do miracles. Hey, you're so anxious about your public speaking. All right, I'll send your brother Aaron with you. He's going to speak for you. God meets Moses in his fear. And he says, I'm going to be for you and be with you and provide for you everything you need to be able to walk into that place of fear, into that place of anxiety, because I have a calling and purpose on your life. My people are enslaved and they must be brought to freedom. God did that for Moses. Now, some of us might be looking at that and thinking, okay, great, good for Moses. Good for Moses. He gets a special staff. I don't have a special staff. God, Moses gets a cool magic trick with the hand and the robe thing. Like, cool, he gets that. Moses gets his brother to hang out with him and do the public speaking for him. Great, I'm terrified of public speaking. I don't have a brother to come do that for me. Great for Moses. What about me? And here's the thing, brothers and sisters. What God did for Moses is only a piece of what God has done for you through faith in Jesus Christ. You see, as we wrap up here, I want to fast forward a lot to talk about not just what happened in Moses' life and relating with the people of Scripture, the great heroes of Scripture who had to encounter their own fear and find freedom from it, but I want us to realize that through faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died to save us from our sins, that we as well can find that freedom from fear. Think about what God has done for you and hold on to these things. We see promises in Scripture saying God will be with you. I put a few verses there, but Psalm 23, verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. See, God, over and over again, it's probably the most common promise in all of Scripture, God telling his people, I will be with you. You're not alone. Your Father in heaven is going to be at your side. You can hold his hand. You can know that he's with you as you walk into that fearful place. We also see the promise over and over again that God will provide for you. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." God will provide for you. Now, that doesn't mean you get everything you want, but it means God will provide everything that you need. You've been given the abundant riches in Jesus Christ through faith in him, that God is going to provide what you need to fulfill his calling and purpose in your life. We also see that God will give you peace. What an amazing promise. The God of peace will give you peace. Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." God will give us peace in the midst of the most difficult circumstances, supernaturally, when things are out of your control, when you have no tangible reason to have peace. You can have peace through faith in Jesus Christ. And fourthly, and maybe most importantly, God has made you his own. You belong to him. Your identity in his kingdom is secure. Romans 14:8, "For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's." See, brothers and sisters, just as Paul writes elsewhere in Romans, nothing, not even life or death, can separate you from the love of God we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. And if we have that security that we belong to God, whether in life or in death, then we can say, like Paul says in Galatians, "To me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Actually, sorry, I think that's Philippians. "To live is Christ and to die is gain." Do you realize what has been given to you through this faith in Jesus Christ? No, you're not Moses. You're not called to go to Egypt and lead God's people Israel out of slavery. That's not your purpose and your calling. But God has a calling for your life, and it is important. God has called you as his children, those who can walk by faith and not by sight, those who belong to him, those who have God's presence with you, those who are provided for by God, those who have peace from God, those who belong to God. You and I are called to go out into the world as witnesses of the gospel message. We are called to go out into the world as servants of God, servants of humanity, to go out to love God, to love this broken world, to bring restoration and healing and freedom. We are called forth to do all of those things, and we can do it in spite of our fears, in spite of our anxiety, because our God is with us, and because Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago chose to give his life away to face the horrible fear and anxiety that we see in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus praying to his Father, saying, "Father, if it's your will, please let this cup be taken from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Jesus, terrified of the cross, laid his life down, facing that fear for us, that fear of judgment. He put himself in our place because he trusted God. And he gave his life, he shed his blood for us so that we could have the security of being children of God as he was, of being people who have an inheritance, who belong, who have power in the kingdom of God, who have joy and freedom and life and peace in the kingdom of God. We receive that by faith in Jesus because he died in our place. And when we trust in him, then we are set free to be able to live the calling and purpose that God has for us. President Franklin Roosevelt said this, and there are many different versions of this quote, but I'll say his. "Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the assessment that something else is more important than fear." Courage is not the absence of fear, but the assessment that something else is more important than fear. I don't know if you saw recently a story, and I should have probably brought a picture and put it up, of a woman whose house caught fire down in Texas, and her children were inside. Fear of fire is perhaps one of the most primal fears we have. We desperately want to avoid fire. It's like in our DNA. But in that moment, where she realized her house was on fire and her kids were inside. Nothing could stop her from running through the flames, taking burns all over her body, because it was more important to rescue her kids than to avoid the flame. Do we realize, brothers and sisters, that this world around us is in need? God has a call and identity for you, a purpose for you to rise up and live in. And whatever the fears you have, they may be very real. You might have real reasons to feel those fears and to avoid those things, but God wants so much to use you, to give you the privilege of serving him, of loving people, of bringing restoration into broken areas of this world. He wants to set you free. And so as we close out here, I want to just share one more story, actually bringing us back to Frederick Douglass, who I mentioned at the beginning. He shares this in another book called The Life and Times of Frederick Douglass. He actually shares about his own encounter with Christ. Frederick Douglass, by the way, I'll just mention, is actually well known for his criticism of the church in America at the time that he lived, for the way that the church was often complicit and actively supporting the institution of slavery. And he spoke prophetically against those who use the scriptures to keep people in slavery. He's well known for that. But sometimes because of that, people don't realize that he had his own encounter with Christ and had a very real living faith in Jesus. Actually happened when he was 13 years old. I want to read you that experience here. By the way, I'll just mention, Frederick Douglass never knew his father. His father was most likely the man who owned his mother. So he never knew his father. He was taken from his mother at a young age when he was a baby. He writes this: "I was not more than 13 years old when in my loneliness and destitution I longed for someone to whom I could go as to a father and protector. The preaching of a white Methodist minister named Hansen was the means of causing me to feel that in God I had such a friend. He thought that all men, great and small, bond and free, were sinners in the sight of God, that they were by nature rebels against his government, and that they must repent of their sins and be reconciled to God through Christ. I cannot say that I had a very distinct notion of what was required of me, but one thing I did know well: I was wretched and had no means of making myself otherwise. I consulted a good old colored man named Charles Lawson, and in tones of holy affection he told me to pray and to cast all my care upon God. This I sought to do, and though for weeks I was a poor, broken-hearted mourner, traveling through doubts and fears, I finally found my burden lightened and my heart relieved. I loved all mankind, slaveholders not excepted. Though I abhorred slavery more than ever, I saw the world in a new light, and my great concern was to have everybody converted." Do you see, brothers and sisters, that even at the age of 13, God planted a seed of salvation, of life, of freedom in this man, Frederick Douglass. 10 years later, led him to run away from slavery to the North, that led him to spend the rest of his life speaking for the cause of freedom, speaking against slavery, speaking against inequality, speaking against injustices in this world. That seed was planted when he found freedom through Jesus Christ as a 13-year-old boy. And that's why today I can share with you that those enslaved by fear are restored by faith in Jesus. Because when we come to Jesus, when we find that faith in him we can find the restoration, we can find the freedom, we can find the hope to be able to live in freedom for the purposes that God has for our lives. And today, as we conclude this time, I want to share just some brief next steps with you. First is, I want to encourage you to place your fears at God's feet in prayer. Bring your fears to God. What I see so many people doing, and I see myself do it a lot too, is sometimes I'll feel very afraid. I'll feel fearful about the future of our church. I'll feel fearful about something going on in my family. I'll feel fearful and inadequate because of my own weaknesses. And a lot of times I'll just bottle those things up, and you feel it right here, right? Like you have that feeling like right here. It's like all this area, just like tightness. Sometimes your heart races. Sometimes those thoughts just churn in your mind and it becomes overwhelming. Right, and there's no freedom. That is like the very cell of slavery, the chains around you getting tighter and tighter. But when you bring those things to God, say, "God, I'm coming and laying this at your feet," just as it says in the book of Philippians. "I'm coming and laying these things at your feet I'm trusting you with this, God, because, God, you're the one who provides for me. There we begin to find peace. There we begin to find freedom. There we begin to find trust, knowing that God is able to provide for us in the midst of those things. And even today, if there are things that you find overwhelming, that are terrifying to you, whether it's because of the COVID pandemic, because it's something you went through in your family, because even something traumatic that happened in your past, whatever it may be, can we bring those things and lay them at the feet of Christ? Secondly, I want to encourage you to memorize God's promises. Memorize God's promises. Because for many of us, this is what we need to believe. I shared this 2 Fridays ago at our Freedom Friday. We need to replace every lie with God's truth. And a lot of us have a really hard time doing that because those lies and those fears are deeply set in our brains, but the Word of God is not. So get the Word of God into your head. Remember that God's Word says that perfect love casts out fear. Remember that God's word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Memorize it in another language. Todo lo puede en Cristo que me fortalece. Memorize it. Get it in your head. Because then you can correct those lies, those fears that consume you. Memorize God's promises. Thirdly, seek God's presence in worship. I've been sharing this over and over again the past several months because God's been laying it on my heart how important worship is. When you come to God in worship, He lifts you up above those fears. If you're in the pit of fear, if that fear is overwhelming you, if it's consuming your thoughts, consuming your mind, come to God in worship. Begin to lift up your eyes to Him who is out, who is above that pit, who is greater than that fear. Lift up your eyes to Him in worship. Come to Him and say, God, I'm in need of you, but I see how great you are. I see how mighty and worthy you are. I see that I can trust you. I believe that you're with me, God. Come to Him in worship. For me, I do this a lot. I go walk around my neighborhood just listening to worship songs. I sit there on my couch. I listen to worship songs. I sing along with them. I reflect along with them. And there, God gives me peace to keep going, not to avoid the fear, because God is calling me forward through the fear into the purpose and destiny He has for me and He has for you. Will you come to God and worship? That's what we want to do together now in this time. As we begin this time of response. The worship team's gonna come up and get ready to lead us in that. And as we do, I wanna ask you right now to start to respond to God in exactly the way that I've just described. Can you come before the Lord and begin to lay down at His feet the things that are causing you anxiety, the things that have overwhelmed you with fear? Maybe confess to God the things that you know He's calling you to do that you've been shrinking back from because of fear. Confess that to God. Say, God, this is what I know you want for me. This is the purpose I know you have for my life. God, I've been shrinking back from that because I'm afraid. Bring those to God. Say, God, help me with this. God, rescue me from my fear of failure, my fear of rejection from people, my fear that I'll face consequences, my fear that something will be taken from me, my fear that I'll go through that horrible experience again. All these fears, God, I bring it and I lay it at your feet. And let God meet you there. We'll spend some time doing that, and then we're going to spend some time in worship. And as we spend time in worship, just come to God. Let His presence overflow in your life. He is with you. In worship, we become aware that we are with Him. Come to God. Let's use this time and seek God this way. So I'm going to pray for us and then give you a couple minutes to pray, and then we're going to worship together. God, at this moment, wherever all of us are, I pray that you would come and meet us in Jesus' name. Come and meet us in a powerful way. God, there are some of us here today who have been paralyzed by fear. Some of us, God, that we have chains around us of anxiety. Many of us, Lord, that have been overwhelmed by the difficult situations we're in, overwhelmed from past experiences we've gone through, overwhelmed because of words that have been said against us that keep us in bondage, that keep us fearful. God, I pray right now that you would awaken our hearts. God, give us the freedom, give us the grace in this moment. We can't do it by ourselves, but Holy Spirit, will you lead us to confess those things before you, to lay those things down at your feet, to open our hearts to you, God, and to believe that you want to come and set us free today. Lift us out of that slavery. Lift us out of that fear and that bondage. Lift us out, God, and break the chains, God, as we come to you in prayer, and meet us, Father, powerfully as we come and seek your face and seek your presence, God. We know that you are good to us. We know your promises are true for us. So God, help us to come to you, to be your children, coming to you, our loving Father who wants to hold our hands as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. God, come and meet us in this moment. Lead us as we pray. Lead us as we worship, and free us from the fear and anxiety that consume us. We believe in you to do that, Lord. Come and lead us and speak to us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's pray together, brothers and sisters. Bring those fears to the Lord and trust that he will set you free. Let's pray together.